Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing more player profiles in the form of Tylan Wallace and Seth Williams. Wallace out of Oklahoma State, Seth Williams out of Auburn. So the thing with Tylan Wallace, it was interesting to me, is I think there is some split in terms of what I saw, what the metrics say, and what the scouting services say. So this is an interesting one. I saw a player in 2020 that just didn't really separate. And it's kind of backed up with some of the PFF stuff. So the PFF stuff is really interesting and illuminating when you sort of look at this. 57% on contested catches, which is well above average. Leads FBS with 43 contested catches in the last 3 years. That's really good. The problem is, to have that many contested catches, it means you don't separate. So that's really the thing with him that I consistently saw is he just doesn't get off, especially press coverage. There was a couple games, there was Oklahoma and there was another game too where they pressed him and he just didn't get off the coverage. And that's the thing with Wallace that I'm a little concerned about is him just kind of getting swallowed up on the outside. When you look at some of the physical stuff, 48th percentile in the short shuttle, 23rd percentile in the vert, 112 in the broad jump, that's fourth percentile. Short shuttle, 4.25, that is 44.6 percentile. Three cone drill, 6.97, that is 40th percentile, and he is 0.15 seconds below the expected three cone time at 31.5 percentile. My concern from watching the tape and when I just was watching through some games of Tylan Wallace was he would just get pinned to the sideline, like press coverage, and they would just sort of ride him out, and he didn't really have a counter. I don't know if it was a lack of explosion, if he just didn't have a secondary move, if he just didn't have the strength to get off, if he was just physically overwhelmed, whatever, but it just kept happening. And so that's something that concerns me. Like that's I've seen that, and I've been burned by the jump ball, contested ball, you know, make plays in tight coverage, Mike Williams, James Washington, Josh Doxson, just keep going on and on and on, right? That's a typically a horrible profile. That's not something you want to best. You want guys that can separate. Cooper Kupp, Keenan Allen, like all these guys that are Bateman from this class. You want guys that can separate because it makes life easy and it makes you an attractive target. You don't want to, like, it's nice to be able to catch balls in contested areas, but if that's the only way you can win, your offenses tend to look a lot like Kenny Galladay's as a wide receiver one. Like, you get bogged down. Like, it's just, you can't truly get to elite territories of targets unless you're an absolute unless you're an absolute monster. So that's really the thing with him. Now that's on like vertical stuff. I think a lot of the stuff with, like, I think he runs a good slant, for example, that I think he can get open on and separate from. And I sort of like that stuff, but he gets swallowed up way too often in like tight coverage. That was something that consistently popped up. I will say, he did tear his ACL in 2019. It does take time to maybe get back to 100% healthy. So I can, I can sort of give him an incomplete, I guess, on some of the 2020 tape. But the thing that concerns me about it is, this showed up, right? And the thing from the PFF notes, I think that really struck me was, can sky in attacks like a bigger wide receiver? 43 catches are the most in FBS. 43 contested catches are the most in FBS in the past 3 years. That's great. Like, that's really good accomplishment. But how do you lead the league in contested catches? You're constantly not separating, right? That's definitionally, you have to be unseparated. And again, he was only catching the ball at 57% contested catch rate. So it's not like he was, he ran 48 contested routes and he caught, you know, 85-90% of them, he caught 57%, which is a good number. You know, it's above the median, it's above the average, but not like standard deviations above the average, not something that's absolutely out of this world. So that's the thing with him. Like, I have a lot of concerns with that. The yards per route runner up there, you know, all that stuff is pretty good, but I just worry about, like, if you can't separate, if you can't get clean from folks in the NFL, like in the Big 12, how are you going to do it in the NFL? And especially when you're subpar across the board in athleticism, right? I get he was productive in college. I get all that. For me, it's just a pretty clear, like, I'm not going to be in on the player profile, I don't think. You know, maybe if he's a second round guy going later in the, the second or early in the third round, something like that, like, I guess I could get in that. He's wide receiver 9. You know, as I sort of look at that, like, honestly, I think that's, like, fairly right. I got to get to Amon-Ra St. Brown in a future episode. I'll talk about him. But, you know, I like basically most of the guys I talked about more than Tylan Wallace, which is wild because Tylan Wallace's breakout stuff's really good. You know, like, he's got the breakout at 19 for both the 20 and 30% breakout, 91st percentile in terms of age of his 30% breakout. That's all good. Problem is, third round pedigree, now we're sort of getting into a quarter type hit rate range. I mean, that's just, I can't get in on that. I just, in a range where you're looking, where you need like 40%, something like that, like, I'm going to be avoiding that, I think. Unless he really, really falls and plummets. And I could say, like, I don't know, maybe if I sort of squinted at this and say, all right, like, how do you kind of defend where he's at? Well, he's going 70 in ADP and expected draft position over grinding the mocks. Like, guys that are going behind him that could go ahead of him, Kadarius Toney, De'Ami Brown, I think both of those guys could go ahead of him. It wouldn't shock me. You know, I'm just sort of looking down here. I'm not sure how much later he goes than, like, you know, wide receiver 12 or something like that. Like, I think in a worst case, that's probably the order in which he goes in. And, you know, how much further does that push him down? Does that make him a pick in, like, the third round of rookie drafts? Like, that's something I guess we could be interested in, just because I'm not sure there's going to be a ton of running backs there. We'll see what the tight end situation is, all that. But that would really be my play. I'm probably not going to be that much on Tylan Wallace by the time this thing's all said and done. Another receiver who is probably one I'm not going to be targeting is Seth Williams out of Auburn. He, I went and watched his tape, and it's kind of maddeningly frustrating. And so one of the things with him is it's very, he's like this big time physical, talent, right? In terms of size, in terms of weight, in terms of physical tools, he's got just a great set of physical tools in terms of God-gifted ability. And there was literally a game where I watched every play, and if you had told me that they gave him specific instruction not to block, it would not have, like, it would have been believable. It was just like, you know, in the run game, like, he kind of goes up, mirrors someone, and refused to lay hands on someone. It was almost like he was coached out of blocking. It was unbelievable to watch. You know, he gets pushed around at the catch point. You know, one of the surprising stats from PFF was 30 contested catch situations this year. He caught 9 of them. So that's that's terrible for being 6'3", 221. I mean, that's just not a good, that's just not good. And he gets pushed around. I don't know if it's ball tracking. I don't know if it's just a lack of physicality. He strikes me as the guy that it's the big guy who doesn't love playing basketball. So he's the big guy. You know, he's the 7'2" dude that wants to be like a 3-and-D wing. And he's just like, just put your behind into somebody, back him down, and just slam on him. And he's like, nah, I'm going to hunt corner threes. Like, okay. Like, that's kind of what he does. You know, Matt Waldman in the RSP told a really good story about him and used a personal anecdote. And it's just that, you know, maybe he just doesn't want to, like, he just doesn't, it strikes him, and it kind of, you know, once I looked at it through this lens, I kind of agree with it, that there's just, like, maybe he doesn't really love it, and he's not willing to sort of put in the effort and intensity, and there's not anything wrong with that, but that just makes him an avoid player. And, you know, for me, like, I look at it, you're like, all right, like, there's some stuff to like here, right? There absolutely is. Like, there is plenty of, you know, he broke out at 19 years old for a 20% threshold. He broke out at 20 for a 30% threshold. You know, 64th percentile in terms of expected, or in terms of 30% breakout. So that's good. You know, all those things are good. And then you sort of look and you're like, there's some stuff where he, you know, after the catch, he can be strong. But just before the catch, you just wonder, he's like just kind of getting manhandled, and just getting, you know, he shouldn't at 6'3", 220 be getting moved off balls or losing at the catch point with the frequency that he does. So that's just with me. I just have that concern. I know that there's some folks that really like him. He's just not my bag. You know, he's below average in receiving grade, just above average in yards per route run, 14.5% drop rate, just really bad, 30% contested catch rate. These are drops too. Like, there's some other guys that we've talked about in this class that have a high drop rate. Like, Bateman drops a bunch of balls. It's really different. Like, Bateman's dropping balls because he's trying to move too fast. Like, he's trying to do things. Williams is dropping balls because he's just not strong enough at the catch point. Like, it's the 30% contested catch rate at 6'3", 220 is just not, it's just not there. So I think he struggles a bit to separate. Like, you know, he has freaky physical abilities. Like, multiple times you saw him just leap over guys going at his knees and, like, comes down naturally in it as well. And just, I don't know. I don't really get what's there with him in terms of, you know, why he can't do some of the things that he should be able to do. So that, you know, that with him, like, I don't know, the projection for him right now, PFF has him as a fourth round projection. Grinding the Mocks has him as a fourth round projection as well, which I think, you know, that kind of checks out. So you sort of in that range, it's like a 10% hit rate, and I'd take the under. So he's going to be an avoid for me. I know that there are going to be some people that like him. You know, he's wide receiver 12 right now. I'm just not going to be in there. You know, Ramondre Moore Stevenson is going almost a round later than him, for example. I mean, yeah, we're definitely going to. I mean, Khalil Herbert is going a round later. We're going to do that for sure. So he's going to be a pretty easy avoid player, I think, for me. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.